generously. One time there was a man who he had a significant heart attack and ends up in the hospital. He's rushed to the hospital, and because it was so significant, the doctors had said he really couldn't have a lot of visitors or company, and they were very specific to say he cannot be excited. Don't get him upset, angry, or excited. And so while he was in the hospital, he was there quite a while. He had a very rich uncle die, and his uncle left him $10 million. And so, of course, the family's very excited, but they're trying to think, how can we tell the man that this has happened to him? And so what they decided was they went to their pastor, and they said, maybe you can help us figure out the best way to tell him this news. And the pastor said, oh, sure, I'll think about that. And so the pastor went to visit him, and they had a good discussion, and he kind of led up to it. And then he just gently asked the man, he said, what do you think you'd do if you inherited $10 million? And the man thought for a moment. He says, well, I'd probably give half of it to the church. At which point the pastor had a big heart attack and ended up in the bed right beside him. we are talking about living generously, and in that we are going to be talking about money and our relationship with money. But generosity is more than just what we do with our money. Generosity is a condition of heart within us that influences how we spend what is valuable to us. How we spend what's valuable to us. How we spend our time, right? How we give away our love or our heart, our thoughts. Generosity has to do with how patient we can be, how forgiving we will be. It's more than just money, although we are going to be talking more specifically about money today, but generosity is a condition of heart that God desires to produce within us, his people, that we would be generous with our time and our love, with the time that we give to people. We would be generous with our forgiveness. One of the things, though, is that money is often one of the most revealing aspects of how generous we are. A man named A.W. Tozer, he's an author, Christian author, he one time wrote this. He said, money often comes between man and God. Someone has said that you can take two small 10-cent pieces, just two dimes, and shut out the view of a panoramic landscape. He says, go to the mountain and hold two coins closely in front of your eyes. The mountains are still there, but you cannot see them at all because there is a dime shutting off the vision in each eye. He says, it doesn't take a large quantity of money to come between us and God. Just a little placed in the wrong position will effectively obscure our view. So as we start this series, there's three things I want you to know, just from me. First is this, I have no idea who gives and who doesn't. Okay, I want you to know that. I have no clue. I don't pay attention to it. I don't access that information. I don't want to access that information because I don't want the entanglement that I know it will create in my heart. Just being honest with you. So I don't know if you give or you don't give. Okay? So the things that I say here today, they're not directed at any one individual. Because I don't know. Right? The second thing I want you to know is I am not after your money. I'm not. But the third thing you need to know is God is. Okay? God is after your money because God is after your heart. Okay? And there's nothing that seems to reveal our heart faster than what we do with our money. There's a pastor in the States, his name's Robert Morris. He's written a fantastic book called The Blessed Life. I would encourage you to get it and read it. But one of the things that Robert says in regards to money, he says, there is a direct link between the heart and the wallet. And he says, here's how I know, because every time I ask people to give, they go, oh, oh. Giving, generosity reveals our heart, and God desires us to have a generous heart as he does. In the Bible has lots to say about money and possessions. There's about 500 verses on prayer. There's around 500 verses on faith, but there's over 2,000 on money and possessions. 16 of 38 parables that Jesus told had to do with money and possessions. Money is so very often a test for us from God. It tests us, and how we handle our money reveals a lot about our priorities, our loyalties, and our affections in this life. Your relationship with money will affect how happy you are. Understand that. Your relationship with money will affect how happy you are. Here's what I mean by that. You can have all kinds of it and still worry that you don't have enough and be miserable. Or you can have very little and still be content. Your relationship with money will have a direct correlation to how you experience this life. And God desires us to be free from the mastery that money can often have over us. So we're going to talk about the principle of tithing and first fruits. Again, I don't know if you give or you don't give. I do know that this church, honestly, is incredibly generous. But this is a principle that we need to be aware of. It's foundational to living a full life for God. Because the fact is this, if you refuse to do with your money the things that God tells you to do with your money, it's no different than disobeying him in any other way. And yet many times we feel our money, our possessions are somehow more reserved for us to decide what happens to them than God. Here's what I want you to think about. Tithing is a gift to us. Tithing's a gift. And if you're struggling with giving and being generous and tithing, you might think, what are you talking about? Tithing's a gift. It absolutely is a gift from God to us. It isn't a command or a law that's meant to burden us or complicate our life with him. Have you ever noticed we're the ones that complicate things? God's pretty clear, right? And then we complicate it. God desires us to be obedient, but we often are the ones that make obedience complicated. God wants to bless you. That's why tithing is a gift, because God desires to bless you. What he wants, what he desires, is for you to fully surrender your finances to him in a way that says, I trust you with all that I have, all my time, my love, you know, and forgiveness, and money, my possessions. I trust you with all that I have. I surrender every area of my heart because God desires to be first. Now, if you're new into faith or when I say the word tithe literally just means tenth. It's where we get the number, or if you've ever spent any time in church and you've heard a tithe is 10%, that's where we get 10%. The word tithe literally means tenth. And what would happen in biblical times is they would give money and things that they had that acted like money, salt and spices and different things. But they would also take, when it came harvest time, they would take the first fruits, the first harvest, the first parts of the harvest that came in. And one-tenth of it would go to God, be dedicated to him. The reason for that is this. So let's say that they're growing apples, okay? The very first apples that are ready are usually the biggest, the sweetest, and usually the best ones to then replant to make more apple trees. And so the idea was that you gave that first and best to God. And in doing so, you're saying to him, I trust you. I trust you. See, like they didn't have nice grocery stores to go to get food whenever they wanted, right? They had to produce all their own food. And so they're saying to God, we trust you that you are going to provide for us in all circumstances, in all situations. It's a gift given to us. And surrendering this area of your life to God and saying, I'll make you first in this area. Here's what I've found, that when I do this, or when somebody does this, honestly, all the other areas or things that you're trying to figure out with God actually become much simpler as you surrender to him. So they would give to God to indicate that, God, I trust you to take care of us. It's really no different for you and I today. As we give, what we're really saying is, God, we trust you, that you have provided this for me to begin with. It's not actually my employer. It's not actually, you know, the government of Canada or whatever it is. I trust you that you have given me what I have. And I'm going to continue to trust you. See, God isn't after just 10% of your money. You're like, wait a minute, what are you saying? It's true, God is not after just 10%. The same way that he's not after just 10% of your mind or 10% of your heart. He wants to be Lord of your finances. He wants to be first in your life, in all things, in every area. He wants surrender from us because he desires he's jealous. He wants to be first in our life, but when we make him first, he blesses us. He blesses us. That's why some people can have very little and be completely content, because they understand that God will take care of them. So we're going to look at some Old Testament scripture. Exodus 13, and they're both these, or all four of these scriptures are out of Exodus. And this is talking about first fruits. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. In verse 12, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. What God's saying here is, he's saying, firstborn, anything firstborn is mine. That's what he's saying. Anything firstborn belongs to me. So the way that that worked out in a practice for the nation of Israel was that a firstborn animal if it was born clean and spotless with no defects, that animal was sacrificed to God as a tithe. Okay, if it had a defect, if it wasn't flawless, then it had to be redeemed. And what they would do to redeem it is they would take a clean and spotless lamb. And the lamb would take the place of the animal. You get that? Okay? So this was the principle of first fruit, or the firstborn that would belong to God and was given to him. Now, think about this for a minute. When Jesus begins his earthly ministry here, the first thing he does is he goes to John the Baptist and he gets baptized. And John says this about him: behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If it's flawless, or if it's flawed, if it's blemished, the animal, then a spotless lamb is given to redeem it. Jesus is the lamb. Okay, and then, of course, it says in Romans 8, it says that Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. The firstborn is sacrificed or redeemed, it says. So the one who was clean and spotless took the place of those, took our place, right? So that we could be redeemed, so that we could be made clean and spotless. Here's what I want you to get from this. Jesus is literally the first fruit that God offers. He's literally the first fruit offering. He was God's tithe to his creation. God was generous to us. He's generous to us because the fact is that Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, God demonstrated his love for us in this: Christ died for us. So even while we're in complete rebellion and hatred towards God, he still gives to us his son. He gives it to us. God so believes in being generous because he's an endless supply. He so believes in being generous that he gave to us, to humanity, his creation, even while we were in rebellion to him. See, this is what generosity looks like for a believer. You don't decide who gets your generosity and who doesn't. Ha ha. Well, that person is worth my time. You ever thought those things? I have. Well, that person doesn't deserve my love or my forgiveness. I don't know if I should really give money to that person. They're clearly addicted to something, and they're probably just going to use whatever I give them to feed their addiction. You ever thought those things? And yet, while we were still sinners, while we were still in complete rebellion, God was generous enough to give his son for us. See, generosity is a heart condition. And many times we treat tithing or giving as a rule that we have to meet, right? A standard that we complete. And this is why God doesn't just want 10% of your money. He wants to be Lord of all of your life. Because he desires to produce in you a generous heart and mind. In all of us. Now in Matthew 6:24, Jesus says this. He says, no one can serve two masters. You'll either hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, the word money there in the original is literally the word mammon. And you'll find some translations of the Bible that will say that. They'll say you can't serve both God and mammon. And the reason that some versions use that as opposed to money is because we tend to restrict money to just money, not things that we possess or things we own. But the word mammon actually means treasure or riches. So it's more than just what's in your bank account or in your wallet. Does anybody actually carry cash these days? Some of you do. Okay. And so it's referring to something much larger. But here's the thing to know about that word money, is that in the original language, that word is actually personified, meaning it's meant to have a personality. In the same way that God is a personality, Jesus is referring here to the personality of money. So the Babylonians had a god of fortune, or a god of money, so to speak, a god of wealth. And what happened was the concept of that god worked its way through hundreds of years into many, many cultures to become an idol that was worshipped. So what happens is when Jesus says this, that you can't serve both God and money or God and mammon, those who heard it would have immediately understood that what Jesus was talking about was the god of wealth. Not just actual physical dollars and bills. That Jesus was talking about a god that is represented by money. Now, we might not call it a god anymore. Well, we would treat it like one. We still have to decide whether or not we're going to serve it. Money and riches want you to become subject to them, to serve them. There is a spirit that's not from God that drives behind that to make us want it, to serve it, instead of it serving us. See, God wants you to surrender to make him first because he doesn't want you to serve anyone but him. In serving him fully, he then can bless us. Money either, you either own money or money owns you. And God doesn't want anything to own you but him because he redeemed you. He gave the spotless lamb for you. You see that? God doesn't want anything to rule your heart or to own you but him. Because his desire is to bless you because he loves you. I mean, just stop and consider for a moment this incredible supernatural God who just spoke things into being, who is an endless supply for us, and how often we doubt his ability to provide for us. When we doubt that, it should be an indicator to us as to what spirit is pushing in on us, trying to gain ground and control over our heart and mind. See, money is an inanimate object, but the spirit that's behind it, of course, is not. And it wants to make you a slave. It wants to convince you that you don't need to or can't trust God, but that you can trust if you have enough. Have you ever thought that? God, everybody in this room has thought that. We just don't always like to admit it. If I just had enough, I'd be okay. If I just had enough, let me ask you, is God enough? Yeah. See, it wants to tell us that you don't need God to feel comfortable or safe or secure, the Spirit. It wants to tell you that having enough money will make you happy. It'll make you feel secure and significant. It'll make you feel like you have power and freedom. That money will make all your problems go away. Stop and think about that, because that is very much a mindset in our world. If you have enough money, it's going to make your problems go away. What are you saying to God when you think that? That you don't need him. Who is actually the answer to the problems in our world? Jesus, right? So when we say we need more money to actually feel like we have enough, that it'll solve our problems, what we're actually doing is we're taking mammon and we're saying that it's more powerful, it's more significant, it is actually the answer to our problems and not God. And the question then we have to ask each and every one of us in this room, we have to ask ourselves, who am I really serving? Who am I really serving? Because money will take a hold of you and it will not let go until you make it. And one of the ways that God has given us to make it let go is generosity. And this applies to money and time and love. It applies to how we think and who we are. You see, all these things that money tries to tell you you'll have if you have more of it or enough of it are the exact same things that God offers to us when we surrender. That we'll have joy and peace and comfort, that we'll know that he'll take care of us. You see, I can tell you again, I'm not after your money. God is. Because God desires for you to experience his blessing and the fullness of him in every way. You know, there used to be this thought within faith that the truly spiritual people didn't have money. Right? That if you were really like Jesus, you were poor. It was actually probably for years why they didn't pay pastors very well, right, Albert? Right? Yeah, Albert. But it really was. Now, it's not like that anymore because we're growing up and we're understanding. It's absolutely okay to have money. It's funny how we flip-flop, right? Like, the truly spiritual, here's what I mean by, the truly spiritual don't have money, but oh my gosh, they've got lots of money. God's clearly blessed them. What's wrong with us? You don't have to hate money. It's okay to know that you need it. God knows you need it. You don't have to be poor to please God. You have to be surrendered. with everything that he gives you. God desires for you to be free in every way. In every way. So you don't have to hate money, but you can't love it either. Like, it can't rule you. Money is meant to be a tool to be used. That's why I say either money owns you or you own it. It's meant to be a tool to be used in whatever way God tells us to use it. It isn't the answer to all your problems. God is. I understand it's the answer to some problems, but God knows that. Here's what I'm asking. I'm asking you this morning to consider your relationship with money. Does it rule you or do you rule it? Is God the ruler over every area of your life? How do you spend what's valuable to you, whether it's money or time or affection? Henry Ford, right, of course, invented the Ford automobile. And one time he was asked to donate money for the construction of a new medical facility. And he pledged to donate $5,000 to the new hospital being built. And so the next day in the newspaper, the headline read this. It said, Henry Ford contributes $50,000 to the local hospital. Okay, so this made Henry very angry. He was upset, and he got on the phone immediately to complain to both the fundraiser and then complain to the newspaper about the typo, the mistake they had made, and reaffirmed that his donation would only be $5,000. The next day in the newspaper, it says this. It says, Henry Ford reduces his donation by $45,000. So, of course, you know, Henry was a smart man. Realized how negative this was going to look for him, and so called them back and said, I will actually donate the full $50,000. But here's what he asked for. He said, I'll give $50,000 in return for the following. He said, I want this, it's a biblical inscription. He said, I want this put over the entrance of the hospital. It says, I came among you and you took me in. I want you to know something. I am not trying to take you in, and neither is God. You need to know that. I understand that when we talk about money, it can make people uncomfortable and it can feel tense, but that the fact is, I am not trying to take you in, and neither is God. God just desires to bless you, and he's actually laid out principles as to how we can be blessed. Giving, generosity, tithing is one of them. He desires us to be obedient so that he can bless us, not so that he can control us. It's not that at all. He is not trying to take you in. Not in that way. So here's what I'm asking for you this morning. If money is an issue for you, if it's in the way between you and God, I'm asking you to consider how surrendered you are. And to consider a complete surrender. And then, when you make that decision, here's what I'm asking. I'm going to ask you to tell somebody you trust. Right, so if you make the decision this morning and you walk in for coffee, don't just start telling everybody. Find somebody you trust that's going to hold you accountable to the decision that you've made, okay? And so that's what I'm asking. Now, if you're already there, if you're already, yeah, this is, I tithe, I give, here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask you to take a moment and just thank God for the gift of being able to tithe, of being able to give, and place all your trust in him. And then ask God if there's anything else he wants you to do with your money. Because while he asks for 10%, he wants to be Lord of all of it. Okay? Ask him. And of course, if he tells you to do something with it, do it and watch and see what he does. All right. Take time this week and evaluate how you spend what's valuable to you. Your time, your money, your love. Take time and evaluate it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thanks. Thank you. I appreciate that, at least from one of you. All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Lord, we come to you and I'm asking God that you speak to hearts and minds right now. That, Lord, those that maybe find themselves in positions of struggling with money, that, God, there is grace here right now. That you desire, God, to set people free from being ruled by a spirit of money. I don't know if anything else will change in their finances, but, God, they can be free. And so, Lord, we speak that now over people's lives, that we could be free to be generous in all things, in every way. Thank you, Lord. God, I pray that you speak to each one of us as to how you want us to spend that which is valuable to us. God, how do you want to spend, how do you want us to spend our time and to give away our love and our affections to, how do you want us to spend the money, the resources that you have given us? Because God, we desire to be a people of generosity. Thank you, Lord. We pray this, Jesus, in your beautiful name. Amen. Amen.